It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
This is John Lyons on WEEI.
From the 35, Stevenson, first down and more. Ramondre Stevenson, still going. Chased by Carl Stevenson. Into the end zone, 64 yards for a New England touchdown.
Back here on WEEI. Hour number three of the program. I'm John Lyons alongside Chris Scheim. We talk Celtics pretty much the entire first 2 hours. If you missed any, Odyssey app or WEEI.com. We'll be tweeting that stuff out as well. Feel free to check it out. I'm going to talk some Patriots now. They made a pretty big move this week in re-signing running back Ramondre Stevenson. 4 years, $36 million, 17 guaranteed. Scheim, I'm just going to kind of ask you off the top. Fan of the deal?
I guess.
Yeah.
It's fine.
It's a shrug of shoulders. Like, yeah, it's solid.
It's fine. I like Ramondre. I think he's good. I don't know. I don't know if I'd pay my running back $9 million or $8 million, whatever the number is, I guess, per year. But, you know, I guess that's a choice they really decided they wanted to make. But it's just that I feel like it's putting your... I feel like you're just kind of okay with bringing a lot of guys back that were on a bad team last year, and I'm very curious how all that's going to work out. Like, I don't think that the core was necessarily all that good. You did a good job. You drafted a young quarterback. You drafted some young receivers to go along with that, but I don't know. I feel like that money could be better spent somewhere else.
So I'm fine with the deal. Like, I'm not jumping for joy, but I also don't hate it because I think he's a very good player who was in a bad situation the last couple of years. And actually, 2 years ago, he had 1,000 yards rushing, 5 yards a carry, 69 catches in 2022. He was the 11th graded running back by Pro Football Focus grading system, if you're into that, which was weird because that was a bad offense, not well coached. This year, you thought the offense would have been better. It was worse. Quarterback play was awful. He did miss a few games at the end of the year, but only 619 yards rushing, 31st in PFF. So I think if you get the 2022 guy, I'll like it quite a bit, especially because, like, I look ahead. Right now, my mentality with the Patriots is more 2025. And I think if Drake May is your starter all year in 2025, you're going to want a guy like Stevenson to lean on. So, I mean, I'm fine. Like, again, I don't think he's an elite player. I think he's a very good player. They have a ton of money to spend.
36 is just too much, though. Like, yeah,
it's really 4 for 17. I mean, you know, with
sure.
The 17
but so
guaranteed.
I look at it like this, right? All that money, I would have rather than take some of that money and have put it into the proposed contract to Calvin Ridley to make sure he actually comes here, and then signed Austin Ekeler, his 2 for 11.5.
Yeah.
Like, you could have Ekeler, Antonio Gibson as your running back duo and Calvin Ridley to pair with, like, Jalen Polk and Kendrick Bourne and Javon Baker and actually have a legitimate offense. Instead, we're going to be like, yeah, here's 4 for 36 for a running back. What are we, like, your priorities are not in the right place.
Running backs
are so easy to come by right now in the NFL. They're freaking everywhere. You don't need to re-sign him. I like Ramondre. A lot of people do. It's too much money.
I could see Eckler, though, falling off a cliff. Like, if the Chargers didn't want him back.
Sure, but that's also why you bring in Antonio Gibson, or you bring in another young, cheap running back. You draft another guy. Yeah. You can find running backs in the fourth, fifth round of the draft all over the place.
You can, but and again, I think it's really 4 years, 17. Like I said, I'm not jumping for joy, but the other issue here, like, they came into the offseason needing a left tackle, probably another guard, and a number one receiver. You could say they got the other guard in Laydon Robinson, sure, in the draft. I'll give you that. They still don't have a number one receiver. They still don't have a real left tackle. I mean, Okorafor, I guess he's going to play left tackle. And that's the issue, too. Like, last year, the Patriots averaged 1.9 yards per carry running behind their left tackle, 2.9 yards per carry running in between the left guard and the center. So when they ran left, did not go well last year.
No.
And again, I like Stevenson, but who's going to be your left guard? Because Cole Strange is hurt, and he's inconsistent to begin with. Who's going to be your left tackle? So again, I'm fine with the Stevenson deal.
Your left guard will probably end up being, what, Nick Leverett, right?
Unless they put Sidy So there and Leverett at right guard. But either way, that's going to be probably your combination.
Yep.
And then Okorafor is your left tackle. So I like Stevenson. I'm okay with the deal. You still have those problems unsolved from the beginning of the offseason.
Yeah, I think this is like, this is more just smoke and mirrors. It's like, ooh, everybody likes Ramondre Stevenson. Here's a 4-for-36 contract. Poof. Don't look at everything else we have going on over on to the right and with the receivers and the line. Like, I don't know. I think it's doing Patriots fans a disservice. Like, running backs are so.
But I think you're going too far. I don't know if it's a disservice because, again, they have so much money to spend. If they were up against the cap.
Spend it on something that matters.
Right, but what else is there to spend right now? Like, I agree. Well, hey, they
could have spent it already.
They could have spent it on Ridley. They should have spent it on Jonah Williams. That contract he got from the Cardinals to be their left tackle was.
Be more aggressive in trading for Brandon Ayuk or T. Higgins and give them massive contracts.
Would you rather have the 34th overall pick or Brandon Ayuk?
I would rather have Brandon Ayuk. Right.
And this is not to slander Jalen Polk, but, like, I mean, come on. I would take Brandon Ayuk as well. Like, and again, this is an offense that was 30th in yards per game last year, 31st in points per game, 28th in passing yards per game, 11th in the red zone. Surprisingly, not awful. They just didn't get there very.
No, they couldn't get there.
And then, like, their offensive line was ranked 20th by PFF, 48 sacks allowed, 9th most, like 3.9 yards per carry. Third down, they were 31st. Time of possession, 31st.
Like, you didn't sign
EPA
one
per
big
play,
free
31st.
Agent.
Yeah,
you were too concerned with re-signing all your players, and I like the Onwenu re-signing.
I like the Onwenu deal a lot.
Yeah,
he's the real deal.
Bring back Kyle Duggar, cool, great, fine.
Anthony Jennings, I like that deal.
Sure,
I like
sure.
that deal.
Anthony Jennings is just another dude. He's a Jag.
You watch him set the edge in the run game.
He's not a Jag.
He's a good player. He's not an elite player. He's a good player.
He's fine. You can find Anthony Jennings anywhere.
You cannot find a guy setting the edge in the run game like that.
Okay. But offensively, right? Like, it's KJ Osborne.
Yeah.
It's Nick Leverett.
Leverett, I think, is good. But does, like, KJ Osborne inspire a lot of confidence?
Not a lot. Yeah. I wouldn't be shocked if he gets cut before day one.
Yeah.
Like, of the regular season. And then Chucks Okorafor and Austin Hooper. Those were your offensive signings. And Jacoby Brissett, I guess, if you count that. And Antonio Gibson. Most of these guys aren't even going to play.
Yeah.
Like, what are we doing? And your focus is in the wrong place,
in my opinion. Like, but you can have both things. Like, you can give Stevenson this deal and still could have added these others.
Bad money management.
But you could have added all these other guys that you're talking about. You could have added at least some of them. And again, I keep going back to the Jonah Williams deal in Arizona. Like, that just bothers me because he was 2 years ago one of the better left tackles in the league.
Yep.
And they signed him 2 years at 20. Like, you could have done that. You still could have paid Duggar and Stevenson on Wenu and all this. And you still could have signed Jonah Williams. And, like, I look at their receiving core. As bad as that offense was last year, their receivers single-handedly probably lost them 3 or 4 games. Like, you look at week one against Philly, Kayshon Booty doesn't get his feet down. Tyquan Thornton drops a deep, probably touchdown pass against the Chargers. You lose 6-0. How about Washington? They had a drop deep touchdown by Jalen Reagor and another one that hit off Juju Smith-Schuster's hands for an interception. You lose that game by, what, 4? Like, a lot of close games. How about against the Bills? Remember they turned the ball over the first 4 possessions or whatever? One of those was, I think it was Reagor, didn't see the blitz coming off the edge, didn't adjust his route. So you throw a pick, and you end up only losing that game by 6 or 7 points. Like, all these close game, if the receivers just don't make massive mistakes, you win a lot of those games. And maybe you win 7 or 8. And I'm not telling you they would have been, you know, a contender or anything like that. But, like, to see that happen, Scheim,
yeah,
and then you don't get an Ayuk or a Higgins or one of the top flight receivers available, that to me was frustrating.
Yeah, 100%. And that it is extremely frustrating. Like, it was good. You have Drake May now. This is good. A lot of those things shouldn't happen this year. I expect the team to be better. I just think that the way they're managing their money right now is kind of stupid. Like, it's been dumb. This offseason has been really frustrating to me because it's like, okay, we're not going to spend any money on free agency, really. We're just going to kind of sit pat. I'm like, okay, so maybe they are waiting. Maybe they're waiting for an Ayuk to really become available. Yeah. Maybe they're waiting for T. Higgins to really become available. One of these guys is going to shake free because receivers get disgruntled with where they are. They want to get paid more money. Other teams can't pay them. We have the money to pay them. So, okay, I get that. That at least makes sense to me. But then you go and you give Ramondre Stevenson 4 for $36. Why are we doing this? If you're sitting, standing pat and waiting to spend your money, why are you spending any of it on a running back of all positions? You don't need to spend money on running back. It has been proven through time and space that the only running back that ever should be paid any money is Christian McCaffrey because he's both a receiver and a running back. You're getting a 2-for-1. Like, you can find guys like Austin Eckler who have led the league in touchdowns for 2 for $11.5. You don't need to pay, like, giving Joe Mixon $9 million a year by the Texans. That's a move the Texans, they only need a running back. They have an offensive line. They have receivers. They have a quarterback. That move makes sense. The New England Patriots have nothing. You have nothing. Your best receiver right now is Kendrick Bourne. I like Kendrick Bourne.
I'd say Pop Douglas, but...
Okay, Pop Douglas is your best receiver. I like Pop Douglas, but... If you put him on the Cincinnati Bengals, he's like the third best receiver on the team.
Maybe the fourth.
Yeah.
No, probably the third, but still, yeah.
A lot of other teams have two receivers better than your best receiver. There are bigger fish to fry here for the New England Patriots than giving a running back. And I like Ramondre, but let's stop giving useless positions 4 for $36 million. Especially if you're trying to tell me, especially if you're showing me you have no intention of spending money anywhere else in free agency. On a left tackle, it's far more important to me than a running back, because you want to know something? The running back only goes as far as the offensive line can take him. That's why it doesn't matter who you put in Detroit. Jahmyr Gibbs is awesome. He's fun to watch. But you can put David Montgomery, Jamal Williams, any one of those other guys in that offense, and guess what? They're going to be good because the offensive line is awesome. It was the same thing in Dallas for years, right? Dallas offensive line, amazing. It was so good. Darren McFadden in there, 2,000 yards. Who was the guy
Zeke
before
Elliott,
him?
Zeke Elliott, then Tony Pollard. Yeah, they
even
went
before
down.
Them, before DeMarco Darren McFadden.
Murray. DeMarco Murray,
that's the name right there.
Led the league, like, in rushing, I think, one
yes,
of those years.
Like,
right?
These yeah. guys, it's because Dallas' offensive line kicked ass. If you have a good offensive line, you will, by proxy, have a good running game. That's just how football works 99% of the time. Again, there are some exceptions to the rule, like a guy like Christian McCaffrey. But even in San Fran, they have a kick-ass offensive yeah. line for the most part. So it's frustrating to me that they're saying certain things and then putting their money in the wrong place.
And I wonder, because 2 years ago he had 69 catches, do they envision him with a much bigger passing back type role this year with Alex Van Pelt? Because that West Coast system is built so much on play action, getting the backs and tight ends involved. I wonder if they see him, not 69 catches again, but 50 catches, 55 catches, something like that, to get him a little bit more involved.
Sure, but did you need to pay him that much money?
But I understand why you're frustrated.
It's not really 4 for $17. It's more like 2 for $17.
So,
but
does that make a again, I'm not saying I love the contract, but I'm like, all right, they had a bunch of money to spend. They have other things they need. Fine, they gave it to them. But, like, I don't look at their offense today as better than I did a week ago because they made this deal.
No.
It's not better.
And it won't be better next year because they made this deal. Again, like, you can just draft a running back and play him. Ramondre Stevenson was a fourth-round pick.
Yeah.
Like, every running back that has been here, basically, outside of the free agents that have come through, yeah. have been middle to late-round picks.
Yeah.
Because they're easy to find. It's not that hard. Why are we spending money on a running back? It's just It is, again, to me, it feels like smoke and mirrors. It's like, ooh, everybody likes Ramondre. Let's give him a contract so people are happy, even though we haven't spent on a left tackle or a receiver.
Yeah, and I think that's a fair point, right? Because is their offense better than it was a week ago before this? I don't necessarily think so. We know we got some people on the phone lines here, some people on the text line. We are going to get to you coming up next. First, though, we have to trend with Zach Coe.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
The Red Sox defeated the Reds yesterday by a final score of 4-3 to even up the three-game set in Cincinnati. Jaron Duran stole the show yet again, scoring the go-ahead run on a Rafael Devers sac fly in the eighth, and then robbing the Reds' Stuart Fairchild of a game-tying home run in the ninth inning. The Sox will look to win their fourth consecutive series this afternoon when Zach Kelly takes the mound in a bullpen day for the Sox opposite Nick Lodolo for the Reds. You can catch our coverage of that game starting with Joe Weil on the MassMutual pregame show at 12:45. Then Joe Castiglione and Will Fleming will have all the play-by-play action on the Shaw's and Star Market WEEI Red Sox Radio Network. First pitch, 1:45. Shaw's, perfecting the art of fresh. The U.S. men's national soccer team will kick off their Copa America tournament in the first match of Group C play when they take on Bolivia tonight. Kickoff is set for 6 p.m. Game 7 of the Stanley Cup Final tomorrow night in Florida. The Panthers looking to claim their first Stanley Cup in franchise history, while the Oilers will be looking to become the fifth team in NHL history to overcome a 3-0 series deficit, and only the second to do so in the Stanley Cup Final. My name is Zach Coe, and that's what's trending on WEEI and WEEI.com. More Lions and Shine coming up after this.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
We're back to John Lyons on WEEI.
Back back here on WEEI. I'm John Lyons, alongside Chris Scheim.
Hello.
And we have Zach co-producing. Zach, how are you back there?
Still doing great. Living the dream.
Good. Just periodically checking in with you. Make sure you're still here.
Still breathing.
Yes. Still breathing, still producing, all that good stuff. We do have some folks on the phone line talking Patriots. I want to get right out to you folks. We're going to start with Steve in Fall River. Not a fan of the Patriots offseason so far. Steve, what do you got for us?
Well, I'm going to start by agreeing that if the Stevenson thing didn't have to be done, the money could have been spent somewhere else. I also don't agree with this quarterback move. Schein wants to tell me that we automatically have an upgrade. Well, I'd like to look the money at the quarterback position. Okay, I'd like to look at the money and the draft capital that was spent that could have been done differently. You had, first of all, we're blaming Mac Jones for the problems in the offense. When you clearly said we need an upgrade at receiver. So we needed from last year upgrades at receiver who lost them games, I might add. You've already admitted it. And we had a problem with our coaching staff and the way we ran the whole deal as was scheduled there. So we had a problem last year.
And Mac Jones also stuck.
And Mac Jones also stuck. But yet, in his draft class, he has the highest winning percentage. Meanwhile, another guy, Trevor Lawrence, had 20 wins and 30 losses, 6 losses in a row to end the season last year. Got a $325 million contract. Let's look at the money. You've already said we need good receivers. We took Mac Jones is going to make $2.6 million. So you get rid of him and you put Jacoby Brissett in, the lucky loser, the happy-go-lucky loser, for $8 million. Can we agree $8 million is worth more than $2 million? Now you took the draft capital on Drake, the project May, the maybe this, maybe that.
He's not a project.
You've already booked him in when common sense says nobody books anybody in for any upgrade. You could have used that draft capital to either take Marvin Harrison, you've already approved your wide receivers, or what I would have preferred, gotten more money for that pick, gotten one or two more picks than you could have had a wide receiver, the tackle you're talking about, an edge rusher. You could have done way more than what you did. And you had good old Mac Jones sitting behind a quarterback if you took him, or playing at $2.6
million. Okay,
He's 18 and 24. No, he's 18 and 24, and he should be 20 or 21 and 24 because he had a couple of receivers blow him games. That's it. There's no objective. There's nothing subjective about that.
Hold on, Steve.
He has the best.
Steve, hold on. Steve. The receivers didn't blow him games last year. In two of the games John Lyons mentioned, Bailey Zappe was the quarterback, not Mac Jones, so you can relax with that. Secondly,
Devontae Parker dropped
against the Raiders.
All over the internet. Yeah, Ravens. All they needed was a field goal to win the game. Somebody else in one of his last starts, dropped the ball on the 15-yard line. I'm trying to find it. And guess what? He's still 18 and 24. You understand that?
Good for
other
him.
People
Mac Jones is not good, Steve.
No, not
I'm
good
sorry
for
to
him.
Tell you.
He's $2.6 million good. Is he better than Jacoby Brissett?
No, he's not better than Jacoby Brissett.
I got to go. Now we're done talking. Goodbye.
Bye, Steve. Thank you.
Steve, I appreciate the call.
Here's the thing. If you want Mac Jones on this team,
I'm just going to step away from the mic.
Steve's like, you could have just spent $2.5 million on Mac Jones. You want to know what else you can do? You can just keep Bailey Zappe on the roster, who is Mac Jones, for even less money, which is exactly what they did. Shocker. Like, they're the same player. They both suck. They're never going to win you enough games in the NFL to actually be competitive. They're never going to actually be good, no matter what the rosters look like. You could put them in San Francisco, and you want to know what? San Francisco would still lose in the playoffs because they stink. Even with one of the best coaches in football, the best offensive line, some of the best weapons in the entire sport, they wouldn't even sniff a Super Bowl because those guys aren't good. It's that simple. Like, Jacoby Brissett was brought in here. He's basically being paid $8 million to coach. And it's a one-year deal, by the way. It's off the books next year. The Ramondre Stevenson deal technically is a four-year deal. You can easily get out of it after 2 years. However, it's technically a four-year deal. So if you allow him to play out the duration of his contract, that's 4 for $36 at $9 million. You're paying more for a running back, technically, per year than you are for 1 year of Jacoby Brissett. Like, it's... And the quarterback is infinitely more important than the running back. And it always has been, and it always will be. So here's the thing. Drake May hasn't even stepped foot on an NFL field, and I can assure you he's better than Mac Jones or Bailey Zappi or Jacoby Brissett. I promise you. Like, it's I would wager every dollar and penny I have that he's better than all three of those guys. Is he a Hall of Famer? No. Clearly not yet. He hasn't taken a single NFL snap. Am I hyperbolous in saying that I believe he may be? Yes, of course I am. But I love Drake May. I love what I've seen from him. I've watched his tape 1,000 times. I've watched every second of Drake May that I can find and that I can actually consume. And I have enjoyed and relish in the fact that he is the New England Patriots quarterback going forward. Okay? So, like, this, the poor money spent. Yes, we all agree they need to be spending money on receivers. That part of Steve's conversation, I agree with. The draft capital thing, no. Like, you should not have taken Marvin Harrison over a quarterback, because who's throwing the ball to Marvin Harrison? Like, Jacoby Brissett is just fine. He's okay. He's serviceable. Like, with Jacoby Brissett and Marvin Harrison, you're winning 6 games, but your future is just totally in flux because you don't have a quarterback. At least with Drake May, there is a future. With Marvin Harrison, it's just he's going to be gone in 4 years because you're going to suck and he's going to be disgruntled and want to get paid $150 million, which the Crafts are not going to be willing to pay a wide receiver. Like, it's just, I don't understand how Mac Jones should ever stay on this roster. They traded him to Jacksonville, by the way, and Jacksonville went and gave that contract to Trevor Lawrence, and Mac Jones isn't going to see the field. Like, that's how the rest of the NFL sees him, not just the New England Patriots. Everybody else sees it the same way. You could only trade him for a 6th-round pick. It's not like the NFL thinks he's good and he's going to go start somewhere. No, no, no. He got traded to a team that just gave a quarterback a massive contract. Huh. Okay, I'm done.
Steve last week was actually calling in complaining about the Trevor Lawrence contract because he thinks Mac Jones is also better than Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah, well, Steve's that's stupid. I don't think here's the thing, and that's the crazy thing too, is I don't think Trevor Lawrence deserved that big of a contract, especially this early. I still think there's things to prove. But Trevor Lawrence has at least won a playoff game. He also had to deal with Urban Meyer, quite possibly the worst NFL head coach in history. He was so bad. He was kicking players on the field. He was ousted after 15 games. Like, that was an all-time bad situation. Trevor Lawrence got through it, got to the playoffs the following year in his first year with Doug Peterson, and they won a playoff game after being down 28-0, 21-0 at halftime.
27-0 to the Chargers, yeah.
Yeah. Like,
and I think I just want to give you a chance to take a breath here. This was good. This was like 6 minutes. I didn't even have to work.
Yeah, I needed therapy.
Yeah, I'm going to bill Odyssey for the 6 minutes, though. Don't worry.
No, please do.
But look, the point I made about the receivers earlier is true, right? They lost multiple games because of bad wide receiver play. They also had the worst quarterback play in the NFL last year.
Yes.
Patriots, and you can go back, and personally, I think a large part of it is because of Matt Patricia and Joe Judge the year before, totally got Mac off track, ruined his development. But independent of that, Mac didn't play well in 2022. In 2023, the combination of him and Zappi was flat out bad. Like, I mentioned the receivers, like the Philly game, Kayshon Booty doesn't get his feet down. Mac throws an awful interception on the first series of that game, which helps set up, you know, points for Philly. Miami, to me, the single worst play of the season for the Patriots offense was the interception he threw against Miami. Devontae Parker, worst probably route of the season, got smoked out of bounds, but Mac made a bad decision and a bad throw on the play. I mean, how bad was he against Dallas in that 38-3 loss? How about the Colts game?
The Saints game, like, it's just like you can rattle off, like, a million of them. It's,
yeah, and that's these are all games they would have won. And even like, we don't have to go in a whole dissertation here back to 2 years ago, but like the Patricia year, as bad as that was, in week 3 against the Ravens, Mac Jones threw 3 picks in the second half.
Yeah.
Like, Patricia was calling bad plays. Was he in the headset saying, hey, throw a pick? Like, that's the thing with me, is like, I think the Patricia and Judge thing hurt him. I think the receivers were bad this year. The offensive line was wildly inconsistent the last 2 years. But independent of that, the Patriots got objectively terrible quarterback play, especially in 2023, and it cost them games. And I would argue, Shime, if they had average quarterback play last year, not good.
No, average.
Average, would have won 8 games, maybe?
Possibly.
And, at least 7.
And Steve wants to throw out that the receivers lost you a couple games last
year. They
did.
Okay. I think they
did. Go back and look at, you kept citing Mac Jones' record. Go back and look at how many games the defense won for Mac Jones. Because the defense has been legitimately good.
What about the first half against the Giants? What do you have, 3 picks in the first half against? You lost that game 10-7?
Yes. Like, but look at the Colts game. That interception he threw in the inside the 10-yard line?
That was one of the worst plays. I put that Parker interception week 2 as the worst play. I put that as the second worst play of the season.
That was that. I could have made that throw. It was embarrassing. And like, this defense has been legitimately good for the last few years. Like, yeah, legitimately
they've
awesome.
They've been number 1, I think, in EPA per play since 2019.
Yeah, like, they have been legitimately awesome. And they have multiple times won the game for the Patriots, whether it's by winning the field position battle because they've been able to get turnovers and they've been able to start the offense in a good spot. Like, I go back and check how many of Mac Jones's wins were because the defense
also
was good. Like, oh, you fraud.
To add to that, the Patriots defense last year was 15th in the league in points per game allowed. Even that number was skewed because you want to know how many points the Patriots offense gave up? 38. They gave up 38 points during the season. So that, but that all gets
included. And how many times did that awful quarterback play and sometimes awful receiver play result in turnovers that resulted in short fields for the opposing offense?
And I would add to that. So this is a Zappy thing, not a Mac thing. But like that Buffalo game when they had the 4 turnovers, you know, in a row, whatever.
Yep.
The first defensive series of the game, the Patriots forced a 3-and-out, but because of a turnover, the Bills were already in field goal range.
Yeah.
So they gave up 3 points. After a 3-and-out, and like, that's the thing, and I've said this for 2 years now, Patriots have had a playoff defense. They've gotten inconsistent offensive line play, bad offensive coaching 2 years ago, and terrible QB and receiver play. It's just been, especially last, like, I don't know how you can look at Mac Jones last year and say, that's a guy we want here, and especially, too, if you're going to draft a QB at 3 overall, or even for the people that wanted to trade down and take J.J. McCarthy, you really want that guy, but really want that guy in the same QB room as Mac Jones?
No, like, absolutely not.
I was you 3 years ago. They're just going to screw you up. Like, that's the conversation.
And currently thinking he deserves to start.
Another big part of quarterback play is leadership skills. I know the coaching was awful in 2022. Did we need the multiple temper tantrums on the sidelines and in public view during the season?
Nope.
Did we need all, like, that's a problem too. And again,
he had the offensive coordinator he wanted last year.
Yeah.
And things got even worse.
Yeah. And again, if we, like, 5 years from now did a true dissection of that era, like, I think Patricia and Judge and Belichick would deserve quite a bit of blame. But, like, independent of that, like, that pass against the Colts, any quarterback in the NFL could have made that, and he didn't.
Yes.
Like, that's...
Are you sure you Drake May makes that throw 100 times out of 100?
Throwing across his body back-to-back series against Dallas, and the second one goes for a pick six, or, like, twice in 3 plays. Like,
Deron
again,
Bland.
Like, that's... But that's the thing. Like, good quarterbacks don't even do that once, let alone try it like twice in 5 plays or whatever it was. And you mentioned the New Orleans game. He was just terrible in that game. He had another really bad interception the second game against Miami when they were down there. They're actually playing well. And I think he had Hunter Henry open in the red zone. I think it was either against Miami or the Raiders. And he overthrew him by like 6 yards.
Yeah.
It was just, and again, that first half against the Giants was just abysmal. And again, I'm not absolving these other guys. It's just awful.
No, and like that's the thing. Belichick deserved a lot of blame. He has lost his job. Mac Jones deserved a crap ton of blame and has lost his job. All of those guys that had deserved a ton of blame lost their jobs for a reason, because they all made mistakes. They were all bad. Was Mac Jones solely responsible for how bad the Patriots were last year? Nope. He only started like half the games. Bailey Zappe, equally responsible. Like, it's just the team in general, there were a lot of different pieces that were why the Patriots were bad last year. Mac Jones was one of them. Just because everything else was bad doesn't make, therefore, mean like Mac Jones was good. No, Mac Jones was never good. That first rookie year was a mirage. It was a Josh McDaniels-led offense that was basically all of the same outside of Tom Brady, and it was a very good defense, and they benefited from a bit of a cupcake schedule because a lot of good players that they would have gone up against
were injured.
And so they capitalized on it, which is what good football teams do, and they were just shy of the playoffs. But when they faced real NFL football teams like the Buffalo Bills, they got absolutely curb-stomped.
Yeah, and I think, again, if they make a better coaching decision in 2022, maybe Mac's development is a lot different, but that doesn't mean we're going to be sitting here saying he's a top 10 quarterback in the league.
He never was.
Like, at times, maybe that rookie year, you'd be like, oh, they really have something here. At least I did. But again, that development was so stunted. And like, there's a texter here from the 603, like, and they bring up a good point about time of possession. The Patriots offense last year, 31st in time of possession, 31st in total first down. So as good as that defense was, could have been even better. You not only weren't scoring, you weren't even staying on the field offensively, which is a huge issue. And like, I think when we look ahead to this year, they're not going to be a good offense, but I think with average quarter, even if Jacoby Brissett's a little below average, I think they'd be better than last year. Like, it's
absolutely.
Just again, that's how bad the quarterback play was. And I think the receiver play this year will be a little bit better. Like, before Kendrick Bourne got hurt, he was on his way to a career year. DeMario Douglas will be better. I think Jalen Polk might give you something. I don't know about Javon. Maybe he'll pop a little. But I think it's still going to be, like, more than you got out of Devontae Parker and Tyquan Thornton.
I couldn't agree more.
Like, I think that you're just going to get more there.
My comp always, from the day he was drafted, I said it on this very station multiple times, the ceiling for Mac Jones to me was Chad Pennington. Like, he had a couple good seasons, and
he won comeback player of the year 1 year.
Yeah, twice. He had a 10-win year. He had an 11-win year. He was 8-4 1 year. Like,
won the
there AFC were some
East in 2002?
There were some decent moments, but was Chad Pennington ever a top 10 quarterback? Yeah. No.
Is he going to win you a Super Bowl?
Never. Yeah. No. And so, like, that to me was always Mac Jones' ceiling. He didn't even live up to that. And so, like, Jacoby Brissett at least gives you a ship that floats. Is it going to make it from England to America? Probably not. But it at least floats for a while. It'll at least get you halfway across the ocean. If a storm hits, all hell might break loose. But it's at least going to keep you above water for a little while.
Yeah, the ship with Mac and Zappy had already sunk.
Yeah, it sunk in the harbor.
Okay. I would have got it into international waters.
No. It doesn't even make it out of Liverpool or wherever the department.
We have John in Danvers. He's been waiting patiently on the line here. John, welcome into the program.
Yeah, hi, thanks. Sean, love you all week.
Appreciate
I'm
you.
In the middle of the Awaken 180 journey with you right now. So,
hey, congrats, John.
There you go, man.
So I have a little bit of a different take, so don't laugh. But I was thinking of this before the Stevenson deal. We've talked a lot about players not wanting to sign here post-Brady, right? They don't want to we don't have a chance to win, or we don't pay players enough.
Sure.
And do you think that signing a lot of these, let's say they're good players, they're trying to show people, hey, we take care of our own, and that maybe that's why they didn't sign Ridley and some of the other free agents have been in on, because we keep hearing that they're in on them. The money might be the same, but then they don't sign. And I don't think it's their girlfriends or wives or whatever. I think it's maybe it's something along, hey, do the Pats take care of guys who are good down the line? And I don't know. That's just something I've been thinking about is all of a sudden they had this rash of re-signings of their core defensive guys and a Wenyu and stuff like that. So does that make sense at all?
Appreciate the call, John. And I would say that there is merit to that, right? Like taking care of your own guys. And I've long believed there's two things that motivate free agents to sign somewhere: winning and money. More often than winning, it is money, but it's winning and money. For 20 years, you were a top three team in the NFL every year. So you had that winning in your back pocket. And contrary to popular belief, they did spend more money under Bill Belichick than people want to give them credit for. They just spaced it out like every 2 or 3 years they'd make a big splash. They didn't do it every year. But still, it was more about the winning. You play with Brady, play for Bill, play on this great team. Now, you have a rookie head coach. The quarterback of the future is a rookie. The winning thing is not enticing here anymore.
No, there is no winning thing at the moment. You're not the Boston Celtics.
Right, so you're going to have to pay. So I do think, like, giving Onwenu a deal, giving Duggar a deal, giving Stevenson a deal, if you're a guy around the league, you can look at least like, okay, they'll pay me if I play well for them. The issue they had, though, is, and look, I think Calvin Ridley got overpaid, but they could have been the team that overpaid for him, and they didn't, right? Or Jonah Williams, who we talked about earlier, they could have offered a few more million bucks, and they didn't. So that's a frustrating thing there. Now, does it make maybe draft picks and agents feel a little better because they are taking care of their own? Yeah, I think that's a good thing to take care of your own guys, and I think that's a big part of the process. But I think we also need to remember it's only one part of the process.
Yeah, and I also think, though, that it's not necessarily going to be enticing to other players. It's just that it's easier to keep guys that are already in the building. Like, guys are established here. If they've been here for 4 years, they have a house here. Some of them have families here. Some of them have kids that go to school here. And so taking a contract that's equal to something you'd get elsewhere, but already being here and being part of the system and knowing the coach and the facility and the people that are already here is sometimes more beneficial to them than leaving for the exact same amount of money. So it's easier to retain players that are already in the building, but it's you're going to have to overspend a little bit to get somebody that's not already in the building.
Especially because you're not winning.
Most importantly, because you're not winning. Like, there's nothing enticing. Like, when I say, if I was to go to any free agent, whether it's Calvin Ridley or Jonah Williams or anybody, if I go to you and say, come to New England, they're going to ask, why? Do you have a good reason? Like, we have a young, up-and-coming quarterback. Okay, well, he hasn't done anything. He hasn't even stepped on a football field yet, so that's not really selling me. What else do you have? Well, we're 40 minutes from downtown Boston. Okay, that's good, I guess. Yeah. What else you got? We have great history. There's great bones here, you know?
The six banners, right.
No. You're going to have to throw a bag at them. That's the only way at this point in time you're going to get free agents, because there's no winning. There's no Tom Brady. There's no Bill Belichick. There's nothing to entice. There's no LA or Miami weather.
Yeah.
Like, there's none of that, right? So you have to throw a bag at these players in order to get them. Fortunately for you, the cap goes up every year. However, the Crafts haven't shown a willingness to spend money on free agency lately. So we need to kind of wait and see at this point, because right now it doesn't look very good.
Yeah, I mean, just one example, like 2017, they pay Stephon Gilmore at the top of the market.
Yep.
But also, because they were so good, like a guy like Kyle Van Noy, you know, was playing for less money, and other guys were restructuring deals to stay here. So they could pay at the top of the market, but the winning thing helped keep other guys from wanting to leave, or like Rob Gronkowski might have left a few years earlier if he wasn't playing with Tom Brady. You know, stuff, you know, like that, which again,
absolutely, he would have left earlier. They just don't
have
it here.
Yeah, they just don't have that anymore. And I think that's why, you know, to the caller's point, the money helps. It's one part of it. They got to get back to the winning. We, believe it or not, Sean, are only 1 month away from veterans reporting to Patriots training camp.
Can't wait.
Right, July 23rd. I think they everyone should be there. Rookies come in the 19th, veterans 23rd. So coming up next, we are going to each give a list of three guys that we are watching in training camp. That's Lions and Shime here on WEEI.
We're back to John Lyons on WEEI.
Back here on WEEI, I'm John Lyons, alongside Chris Schein, approaching the end of hour number three. We're going to 12:45, we're taking you up to Red Sox pregame coverage, which I believe is with Joe Weil. Does a great job on Red Sox pregame and postgame coverage, so he'll be with you at 12:45. But we've been talking Patriots. We talked Celtics earlier in the show. Big thank you again to Keith Smith of the Front Office Show for joining us in hour number one. If you missed any of the show, Odyssey app, WEEI.com. I'm sure Scheim will spend the entire morning show tomorrow talking about how great today was anyway. So
absolutely,
you can hear the summary there. And I'm sure Zach Goh is going to go home and tell all his neighbors how great it was, right? Of course. But Patriots training camp opens, or I shouldn't say opens, but the veterans are going to be there a month from today on July 23rd. So the entire team, entire coaching staff, they will all be there a month from today. So Celtics just ended, won a championship, and we're only a month away from football, right? So, Shime, I want to hear from you, and I got a list too. But this is a new era here in New England. A lot of new faces, different level of expectations. So I want to get a sense, like, who are we watching in training camp? So we each made a list of three guys. So we'll just go back and forth here, Shime. Who's the first guy you're really watching in training camp? And you can extend it to the season this year.
Yeah, so for me, the first guy I'm actually watching is a rookie. I want to see Jalen Polk. Like, I am under the impression that Jalen Polk could be a massive, massive hit for the Patriots in this draft class. Like, I love the way he plays. I just think he's reliable. I think he could be like a rich man's Jacoby Myers, like better. But just as reliable, just kind of that same kind of player. And so I'm excited to see what he can bring right away as a rookie. And we'll kind of get a sense of that come camp time, which will be nice.
Yeah, I think Polk has the potential. Like, I look at him long term, maybe that wide receiver two in a really good offense. And his versatility last year in college, 59% of his snaps out wide, 41% in the slot. They can move him around. I agree with you. I'm excited for him too. My first guy, Christian Gonzalez. I love the draft pick 2 years ago. Okay. Excuse me, a year ago. I thought he was elite as a rookie when he played. I think he has the potential to be an all-pro level shutdown corner. And you look at the schedule they have, Cincinnati week one, that receiving core. Seattle with DK Metcalf in week two. The Jets in week three. San Fran, we know how good that receiving core is in week four. You just go Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle in week five. I mean, they come out of the gates playing against some elite wide receiver cores, and they got more, you know, later on as you go, like the Rams, Puka Nacua, Cooper Kupp later in the season. So I want to see how good he is, because I think if he's great, again, I'm not sitting here predicting the Patriots are going to be great this year, but he's going to help keep them in a lot of, I think, good competitive football games this year.
Yeah, with that in mind, my next one is defense as well. I want to give you an entire position group, but I'll pick one guy.
Okay.
I'm looking at the defensive line, the three down linemen. My guy in particular, though, is Keon White. Like, I think he could make another step forward. We already know how good Christian Barmore is. I think he's kind of already become like a bit of a proven thing. You know what Devon Godshaw is. He's kind of, you know, he's good. He's not amazing, but he's very good at what he does. I'm excited for Keon White. I think this defensive front seven could be elite for the New England Patriots. Like, one of the best front sevens we've seen in quite a long time, especially when it comes to rushing the passer. I think this could be one of the best products we get and we've gotten in years, in maybe a decade. And so I'm very excited to see what Keon White can
do. I think this front seven can be the best one since their Super Bowl years.
Yeah.
I mean, with Judon, and Christian Barmore is one of my favorite players in the NFL.
Agreed.
Him, and then you mentioned Keon. I mean, he looks like a monster.
He was
out there
times,
as a rookie,
he was
rotational rookie. Monster, yeah. And I know you think Anfernee Jennings is a jerk. I love Anfernee Jennings setting the edge in the run game. I think that's really valuable. Uche is now, I don't want to say a complimentary
piece. No, a rotational
piece. Yeah, he is. And at linebacker, like Tavai and Bentley, yeah, they're not elite, but with that, they've played well. And with that D-line in front of them.
And you add what Sione Takitaki is now in there as well.
Duggar will spend time in the box.
Peppers spends time in the box.
Yeah.
Like it's just, I think that right now, I think their defense is kind of in a point where it's like you have so many guys that can be fluid in where they play, and then rotationally in the front four or the front three or the front five, however you want to line it up, like they can just be putting guys that have such different abilities in. Yeah. Like you get the guy who can be speed off the edge. You can get a guy who can be power on the inside or power off the edge. Yeah. You have a guy who can set the edge. You have just all the different pieces that you can work with. I think they can be so creative with these fronts. I think it's gonna make the Patriots defense really, really formidable.
Yeah, I think they're gonna have a top three or four defense in the NFL. It's gonna be too bad too if their offense doesn't measure up, because that defense is gonna be
phenomenal.
My second guy, Chuck Okorafor, excuse me.
Yeah.
It looks like he's going to be your left tackle. Barely played any left tackle in Pittsburgh. It's a pretty big risk, because I think Caden Wallace has potential as a tackle and developmentally, but he's not going to be your week one starting left tackle. Like it's going to take, and who knows if he even plays left tackle. They could kick in on Wenu over to left tackle if they really needed to. But I'm looking at Okorafor as the guy that, if he surprises us, Shyman, he's good. All of a sudden, this offensive line looks all right. But if he's not good, if he's the guy that Pittsburgh said thanks but no thanks and let go, they're in trouble off the edge on the left.
Yeah, you and I are kind of similar wavelength here. I'm going to stay on the offensive line as well. My guy, Sidy Sow, though. I gave Sidy Sow a lot of crap when he got drafted by the New England Patriots, because they originally drafted him. He was a tackle coming out of college, but I was like, this guy's arms are too short. He can't play tackle in the NFL. I'm sorry, it's not happening. It's not realistic. Gresh made fun of me because I cited that he's in like the 7th percentile when it comes to arm length.
Yeah.
But you know what they did? They kicked him to guard, like a smart team does with a guy with shorter arms, and I'm excited to see his growth, right? Last year, there were moments where he was good, moments where he was a turnstile. There's no more Dante Scarnecchia in the building to transform a guy like that. So I'm curious to see if there's going to be a jump there. If there's going to be any kind of evolutional leap, I think the Patriots are in a good spot when it comes to the offensive line. Like, there's pieces you can work with here. But if there's no jump, we're in a lot of trouble.
And it's funny, that was your third guy, right?
Yep.
He's also my third guy. And last year, he was 27th in the league in PFF grade, which was 64.4, it was. But in the last month of the year, he had two games over 80.
Yeah.
He played really well. And we talked about the bad receiver situation, the bad quarterback situation, the inconsistencies around the offensive line. Like, I think without a doubt, Sidy Sow is going to be one of your starting guards this year.
Yep.
Whether it's him and Nick Leverett, if Cole Strange is healthy enough. Even if Cole Strange is healthy enough, it's probably going to be Leverett and Sow anyway.
Yeah, I think so. At this point, like, it's they're going to start Leverett and Sow. Cole Strange will not be ready week one.
Yeah.
You'll start Leverett and Sow. And then if those guys are clicking with the rest, with Onwenu and Andrews, and if Okorafor can be any good, like, they're not going to shift off that. You just shouldn't. Because Cole Strange has never given, it's not like he was a stud when he was in, and you'd be putting him into a good offensive line. He was hit and mostly missed as it was.
Yeah, and let's not forget, too, like, Laydon Robinson, who they invested, what, a fourth-round pick in? I mean, he's another rotation. And I'm not telling you he's going to be an elite, but he's another piece in that mix that if he's equivalent to Cole Strange early in the year, they're probably going to lead with the younger guy.
And this is, but this is another thing, too, and it goes back to my whole why are we paying Ramondre thing when it comes to position valuation. Like, why are we drafting Cole Strange in the first round when a year later, you find a guy like Sidy Sow, who has already shown more, I think, at times than Cole Strange has. Like, I've seen it out of Sidy Sow. I've seen him do it against legitimate opponents. I haven't seen Cole Strange do it. And again, Sidy Sow hasn't been perfect. There's been times where he's been an absolute turnstile, but I've seen him actually physically compete against these guys in ways that Cole Strange hasn't. You got Sidy Sow in the fourth round where you drafted Cole Strange in the first round. Like, I've seen it out of Sidy Sow. I've seen him do it against legitimate opponents. I haven't seen Cole Strange do it. And again, Sidy Sow hasn't been perfect. There's been times where he's been an absolute turnstile, but I've seen him actually physically compete against these guys in ways that Cole Strange hasn't. You got Sidy Sow in the fourth round where you drafted Cole Strange in the first round. Like, positional valuation, people, please.
And a bonus one for me?
Go for it.
Jerod Mayo.
Yeah.
First-year head coach. That's a guy I have my eye on as much as anyone. But that's three guys we are each watching heading into Patriots training camp. Final hour of Lions and Shime coming up next.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
We're back to John Lyons on WEEI.
Back here on WEEI, I'm John Lyons. Alongside Chris Schein, approaching the end of hour number three. We're going to 12:45. We're taking you up to Red Sox pregame coverage, which I believe is with Joe Weil. Does a great job on Red Sox pregame and postgame coverage. So he'll be with you at 12:45. But we've been talking Patriots. We talked Celtics earlier in the show. Big thank you again to Keith Smith of the Front Office Show for joining us in hour number one. If you missed any of the show, Odyssey app, WEEI.com. I'm sure Scheim will spend the entire morning show tomorrow talking about how great today was anyway. So
absolutely,
you can hear the summary there. And I'm sure Zach Goh is going to go home and tell all his neighbors how great it was, right? Of course. But Patriots training camp opens, or I shouldn't say opens, but the veterans are going to be there a month from today on July 23rd. So the entire team, entire coaching staff, they will all be there a month from today. So Celtics just ended, won a championship, and we're only a month away from football, right? So Scheim, I want to hear from you, and I got a list too, but this is a new era here in New England. A lot of new faces, different level of expectations. So I want to get a sense, like, who are we watching in training camp? So we each made a list of three guys. So we'll just go back and forth here, Scheim. Who's the first guy you're really watching in training camp? And you can extend it to the season this year.
Yeah, so for me, the first guy I'm actually watching is a rookie. I want to see Jalen Polk. Like, I am under the impression that Jalen Polk could be a massive, massive hit for the Patriots in this draft class. Like, I love the way he plays. I just think he's reliable. I think he could be like a rich man's Jacoby Myers, like better. But just as reliable, just kind of that same kind of player. And so I'm excited to see what he can bring right away as a rookie. And we'll kind of get a sense of that come camp time, which will be nice.
Yeah, I think Polk has the potential. Like, I look at him long term, maybe that wide receiver two in a really good offense. And his versatility last year in college, 59% of his snaps out wide, 41% in the slot. They can move him around. I agree with you. I'm excited for him too. My first guy, Christian Gonzalez. I love the draft pick a year ago. I thought he was elite as a rookie when he played. I think he has the potential to be an all-pro level shutdown corner. And you look at the schedule they have, Cincinnati week one, that receiving core. Seattle with DK Metcalf in week two. The Jets in week three. San Fran, we know how good that receiving core is in week four. You just go Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle in week five. I mean, they come out of the gates playing against some elite wide receiver cores, and they got more, you know, later on. As you go, like the Rams, Puka Nacua, Cooper Kupp later in the season. So I want to see how good he is, because I think if he's great, again, I'm not sitting here predicting the Patriots are going to be great this year, but he's going to help keep them in a lot of, I think, good competitive football games this year.
Yeah, with that in mind, my next one is defense as well. I want to give you an entire position group, but I'll pick one guy. I'm looking at the defensive line, the three down linemen. My guy in particular, though, is Keon White. Like, I think he could make another step forward. We already know how good Christian Barmore is. I think he's kind of already become like a bit of a proven thing. You know what Devon Godshaw is. He's kind of, you know, he's good. He's not amazing, but he's very good at what he does. I'm excited for Keon White. I think this defensive front seven could be elite for the New England Patriots. Like, one of the best front sevens we've seen in quite a long time, especially when it comes to rushing the passer. I think this could be one of the best products we get and we've gotten in years, in maybe a decade. And so I'm very excited to see what Keon White can
do. I think this front seven can be the best one since their Super Bowl years.
Yeah.
I mean, with Judon, and Christian Barmore is one of my favorite players in the NFL.
Agreed.
Him, and then you mentioned Keon. I mean, he looks like a monster.
He was, out there
as a rookie,
he was
rotational rookie. Monster, yeah. And I know you think Anthony Jennings is a jerk. I love Anthony Jennings setting the edge in the run game. I think that's really valuable. Uche is now, I don't want to say a complimentary
piece. But he's a rotational piece.
Yeah, he is. And at linebacker, like Tavai and Bentley, yeah, they're not elite, but with that, they've played well. And with that D-line in front of them.
And you add what Sione Takitaki is now in there as well.
Duggar will spend time in the box.
Peppers spends time in the box. Yeah. Like it's just, I think that right now, I think their defense is kind of in a point where it's like you have so many guys that can be fluid in where they play, and then rotationally in the front four or the front three or the front five, however you want to line it up, like they can just be putting guys that have such different abilities in. Yeah. Like, you get the guy who can be speed off the edge. You can get a guy who can be power on the inside or power off the edge. Yeah. You have a guy who can set the edge. You have just all the different pieces that you can work with. I think they can be so creative with these fronts. I think this is going to make the Patriots defense really, really formidable.
Yeah, I think they're going to have a top three or four defense in the NFL. It's going to be too bad, too, if their offense doesn't measure up, because that defense is going to be phenomenal. My second guy, Chuck Okafor.
Yeah.
It looks like he's going to be your left tackle. Barely played any left tackle in Pittsburgh. It's a pretty big risk, because I think Caden Wallace has potential as a tackle and developmentally, but he's not going to be your week one starting left tackle. Like, it's going to take, and who knows if he even plays left tackle. They could kick in on Wenu over to left tackle if they really needed to. But I'm looking at Okorafor as the guy that, if he surprises us, Shime, and he's good, all of a sudden this offensive line looks all right. But if he's not good, if he's the guy that Pittsburgh said thanks but no thanks and let go, they're in trouble off the edge on the left.
Yeah, you and I are kind of similar wavelength here. I'm going to stay on the offensive line as well. My guy, Sidy Sow, though. I gave Sidy Sow a lot of crap when he got drafted by the New England Patriots, because they originally drafted him. He was a tackle coming out of college, but I was like, this guy's arms are too short. He can't play tackle in the NFL. I'm sorry, it's not happening. It's not realistic. Gresh made fun of me because I cited that he's in like the 7th percentile when it comes to arm length. Yeah. But you know what they did? They kicked him to guard, like a smart team does with a guy with shorter arms, and I'm excited to see his growth, right? Last year, there were moments where he was good, moments where he was a turnstile. There's no more Dante Scarnecchia in the building to transform a guy like that. So I'm curious to see if there's going to be a jump there. If there's going to be any kind of evolutional leap, I think the Patriots are in a good spot when it comes to the offensive line. Like, there's pieces you can work with here. But if there's no jump, we're in a lot of trouble.
And it's funny, that was your third guy, right?
Yep.
He's also my third guy. So, and last year, he was 27th in the league in PFF grade, which was 64.4, it was. But in the last month of the year, he had two games over 80.
Yeah.
He played really well.
There were times where he played really well.
And we talked about the bad receiver situation, the bad quarterback situation, the inconsistencies around the offensive line. Like, I think without a doubt, Sidy Sow is going to be one of your starting guards this year.
Yep.
Whether it's him and Nick Leverett, if Cole Strange is healthy enough. It's probably going to be Leverett and Sow anyway.
Yeah, I think so at this point, like, they're going to start Leverett and Sow. Cole Strange will not be ready week one.
Yeah.
You'll start Leverett and Sow. And then if those guys are clicking with the rest, with Onwenu and Andrews, and if Okorafor can be any good, like, they're not going to shift off that. You just shouldn't. Because Cole Strange has never given, it's not like he was a stud when he was in, and you'd be putting him into a good offensive line. He was hit and mostly missed as it was.
Yeah, and let's not forget, too, like, Laydon Robinson, who they invested, a fourth-round pick in. I mean, he's another rotation. And I'm not telling you he's going to be elite, but he's another piece in that mix that if he's equivalent to Cole Strange early in the year, they're probably going to lead with the younger guy.
But this is another thing, too, and it goes back to my whole why are we paying Ramondre thing when it comes to position valuation. Like, why are we drafting Cole Strange in the first round when a year later, you find a guy like Sidy Sow, who has already shown more, I think, at times than Cole Strange has. Like, I've seen it out of Sidy Sow. I've seen him do it against legitimate opponents. I haven't seen Cole Strange do it. And again, Sidy Sow hasn't been perfect. There's been times where he's been an absolute turnstile, but I've seen him actually physically compete against these guys in ways that Cole Strange hasn't. You got Sidy Sow in the fourth round where you drafted Cole Strange in the first round. Like, I've seen it out of Sidy Sow. I've seen him do it against legitimate opponents. I haven't seen Cole Strange do it. And again, Sidy Sow hasn't been perfect. There's been times where he's been an absolute turnstile, but I've seen him actually physically compete against these guys in ways that Cole Strange hasn't. You got Sidy Sow in the fourth round where you drafted Cole Strange in the first round. Like, positional valuation, people, please.
And a bonus one for me.
Go for it.
Jerod Mayo.
Yeah.
First-year head coach. That's a guy I have my eye on as much as anyone. But that's three guys we are each watching heading into Patriots training camp. Final hour of Lions and Shime coming up next.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, Yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.